right, everyone. Welcome to tonight's episode of the Hot Widows Club podcast. We're going to do a count-in tonight because I feel like the Hot Widows Club podcast deserves a count-in. I watched Quarterback on Netflix this weekend, and I watched Patrick Mahomes count down 3-2-1 Chiefs like a million times. And so Allie's going to count me down. Let's go.
3-2-1 Go.
Welcome to the Hot Widows Club podcast. My name is Crystal. I'm the hot widow of Eric. And with me tonight, I have Allie, the very hot widow of Ross.
Hey, guys.
And sweet countdown, super special guest, Loisy, the very hot partner of Jeff.
Hello.
Really excited to have Loisy in the studio today. She has connections to a number of our other hot widows in the Omaha community, as well as been an avid listener for a couple months now. So welcome to the show.
Yes, welcome.
Thank you guys for having me. This is so fun.
Yeah. How do you guys like the countdown? I definitely
I feel like we're at a game. It's kind of fun.
I felt like I should cheer afterwards, like give you a woo.
Okay, you can. Like anyone can cheer for me. I'm
like
cool
pom-poms.
With that.
Yeah.
Can you spell out my name? Give me a C.
C.
All right, guys. Okay, back to business. Allie and I are in the studio today, so we're loving this feeling.
Yeah, we haven't been in the studio since December.
Holy cow.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. And that was a sad episode. That was kind of a shitty day. That was our Christmas episode, remember?
Yeah.
We were just having a bad week anyways.
The holidays are hard.
Yeah. January, February, as we talked about, total ball busters. I got to say, I'm feeling good in March.
March is the month for me that can go kick rocks.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Okay. I can hear that. That's like Allie's May.
Mm-hmm. But we're like halfway through it.
Yeah.
So I don't know. The last half is the hard part.
Oh, I bet.
Okay.
But we're going to make it.
Yeah.
You are going to make it. You are going to wake up tomorrow.
Yep.
Hopefully put on underwear. That's always my thing. Like wake up, put on underwear, make it through the day.
I mean, everybody would appreciate it if I did.
Okay. So Loisy's in the studio. Loisy's Irish. Allie's Irish. Mm-hmm. I think I'm pretty German. So
I don't think we said it's St. Patrick's
Day. No, that's what I'm getting into. Oh, it's St. Patrick's Day.
Okay.
So Allie's dressed to the nines, looking cute as a button.
Love it.
So do you guys.
Yes. Loisy has her shirt on that says,
Let's get lucked up.
And has
that's right.
brought us Jeff's favorite beer, Coors Banquet. And I'm slamming a 40 right now of Coors. And it's not even night. I said, welcome to tonight's episode of the Hot Widows Club podcast, but it's noon on St. Patrick's Day.
Okay. I feel like that's pretty late in the day to get started, though, for some.
I feel like
some are out at like 6 a.m.
Oh, yeah.
My best friend from high school texted me at 10 and said, we're going to this bar. And I'm like, oh. And then I took a quick drink of water. I said, let's get locked up, motherfuckers.
Woo.
Woo. Let's go. Number 87.
Did you go?
No, I didn't. Sat at home and ate Rice Krispie treats.
Breakfast of champions.
Thank you. Thank you so much. So Hot Widows Club podcast back in the studio, Omaha, Nebraska, cold and windy, nasty day. It's Body by Trey's birthday. If you see him, tell him happy birthday. I don't know how old he is today, but he is birthing, so that's great. All right, what's new with you, Mom? What do you got over there?
Let's see. So we went on spring break trip. I think I talked last episode, or Crystal did, that we were going on a big trip, and we did. It was really nice to get a mental break, like from life here mm-hmm. in Nebraska. So that was much needed, and I felt really good coming back. But like just real, being real, it was also sad. Like I just felt like Ross would have loved this trip, would have gotten so much joy out of it. And I just like missed him a lot. And sometimes in those, I think what people think is like when you have these like joyful moments, there's also a tinge of sadness. Like it's not. And you really only know unless you go through this grief, like that is grief, is that you have these joyful moments, but there's also this piece of your heart missing. And I don't think a lot of people understand that. They're like, oh, you're going on this great trip and you're going to have so much fun. And we did. But to be real, I cried. I miss Ross.
Mm-hmm. I've learned that you can be two things at once.
Yeah.
Right. Mm-hmm. You can be happy And I have a lot of guilt.
Yeah.
Like with my sadness or with my happiness. Mm-hmm. So I get it. And I don't know that I would have understood that before.
Yeah, you don't. There is no way for anyone out there to understand the way that we feel today. Like you can't. Like as much as you try to empathize with us, and it's great that you do, but only widows like get this piece of it, or grief of losing someone. It's not just widows; it's someone you love. But there is so much sadness and joy, so much sadness mm-hmm. in it when you've experienced the loss of someone that had your heart like that. I find. Like my happy moments are getting happier, and I'm finding that again. And like, I'm finding happiness in myself and the things that I'm doing and who I've become. I'm getting my confidence back. I think a lot of people are like, oh, Crystal, you're so confident. And I feel confident, but I had a little confidence like break there for a little bit. Like I did not feel confident in myself, my skills, my parenting, like any of that. None of that felt good to me. Mm-hmm. And I'm starting to get it back. And I just think part of it is January and February, just for some reason. It's dark, it's gross, all the things I've already talked about. But March, now I'm feeling it again. I'm like, okay, you got this. All of this mm-hmm. is coming together. And that feels good.
Yeah. I actually feel like this year has been the best year I've had in 5 years.
Yeah, baby.
I feel for the first time, like I can accept where I'm at. It's this weird thing I'm going through where I'm like, okay, he's really not coming back. And it took 2.5 years. Like it took 2.5 years to be like, he's not coming back and it's okay. Like you got this. It's hard. You guys all know how hard it is, but I don't know. Like, I feel like this year, I just am like, this is going to be my year where I get my freaking life back.
Yeah, bitch. Let's do this.
That makes me really excited for you guys.
Yeah.
And it's not easy. Like, I'm not like going to sugarcoat anything. Being a solo parent by far is the hardest thing that is freaking, and it's going to continue. The rest of my life, I will be a solo parent, right? Mm-hmm. But I'm like, I can do this. I can freaking do this. And I can have a career, and I can have friends, and I can go on trips, and I can live my life, and I'm going to be okay.
Who is this? New phone. Who dis?
It's just, I don't know. I'm just sick of like, I just want to be positive. Like, I just want to be like,
yes.
This is going to be okay. And like, whoever comes into my life is meant to be. And whoever isn't here, it's okay. Like,
100%.
Amen. Right? Hallelujah.
He wouldn't want you to stop living.
Yeah.
And you have so much life left mm-hmm. and your kids that you need to be positive and you need to move forward. Mm-hmm. Like every day, 1 foot forward.
Yeah, my kids remind me of that every day. They're just mm-hmm. like such little balls of joy and happiness. I'm like, I want that too, mm-hmm. no matter what is happening.
You deserve it, babe. Like,
I think so.
You deserve it and you're ready for it. Like, yeah. Your heart is ready for it. Like, mm-hmm. you know, we've talked before about like finding joy and finding happiness. And you're like, I'm trying, I'm working on it. And like seeing you find it here and like embrace it, you yeah. deserve it.
Yeah.
You are a beautiful, wonderful human being. And whether he wants it or not, that is completely irrelevant because your heart wants it. Mm-hmm. And your heart needs to take you into the next place because he's gone. Like, I'm not, like, I'm living like his legacy out, but I'm not living
for him.
For him. Now, I don't mean like I'm not like, I want him to like, I want to raise his kids the way that we would have raised his kids. And I want to carry on the beautiful human that he was, but I have to live for me because I'm what's left. Mm-hmm. Cause you're right, Al, he's not coming back. And for so long, I was like, he's going to get out of the hospital and he's going to walk through that door again, or I'm going to get that phone call. I'll go pick him up. No, bitch, he's dead. You're not going to do that. Like, that's not going to happen. Stop pretending. And now I'm just like, okay, I was telling Allie on the way down here, I finally, like, I feel so good about me and what I'm going to do next and how I'm going to embrace that and just move forward.
I'm a set a date girl. Right. I need a time frame. I told myself I would give myself a year of sitting in my shit.
Yeah. And absolutely.
Whatever that looks like, grieving, like not trying to move forward, not trying to understand, just surviving. Mm-hmm. And this is a year, today and tomorrow and Monday.
I will tell anyone who's going through this. So Lacey is literally hitting a year tomorrow, right?
Mm-hmm.
So tomorrow is a year for her. I have met so many widows who have worked on like a path forward and like healing so quickly. And they do find that joy and they do find that happiness. But I have found for myself, to Loisy's point, sit in your shit for a year. Just sit in it. Just, I've talked so much about existing in it. It hurts. It's uncomfortable. It's sad. It's lonely. But my God, have I grown by doing that. And I'm so happy. I'm so comfortable most of the time. I mean, I have moments, right? I'm a widow. I have those moments, but that first year is critical.
I think it's important to feel everything.
Mm-hmm.
The good, the bad, the ugly. And just feel it, sit in it, learn, mm-hmm. grow. And then once I hit that year, I can start looking forward
mm-hmm.
and I can start moving us forward.
So make a plan, stick to your plan, always deliver. Who here is a fan of Storks, the movie? I love that show. It's so funny.
Is it?
Oh, it's one of my favorites.
It's been a while.
Oh man, you guys go home and watch that. It's hilarious. The guy from Saturday Night Live is in there. I can't remember his name, but it's so funny. It's so great. But he says, make a plan, stick to the plan, always deliver. And that's kind of where I'm at today.
I'm also like, if a plan changes, it's okay. I don't know.
Sure.
It's gonna.
I just have accepted it.
Yeah.
Things change and flow and my feelings go up and down. And I don't know. It's never going to stop. And that's okay. I want to be in a spot where I'm okay sitting in sadness and sitting in loneliness because I have experienced the most amount of growth in my life in the loneliness. It's crazy. I don't want it for anybody, never. But I am so, I guess, I want to be thankful for what has been what has happened.
I think you learn how to rely on yourself
mm-hmm.
and you learn to trust yourself.
Yeah.
And that you've got this.
Yes.
And you're able to pick yourself up so nobody else has to.
Yes.
Here's the deal, ladies. Nobody is going to.
Like, right.
Nobody's going to come to your house, wake up your children and get them dressed and take them to school. Nobody is going to put you in their car and drive you to work and do your work. Like, we have to do all that. And we are beautiful, bold women who do that. Like, I've met so many people who couldn't even fathom. Like, they don't even connect the dots in what we do every day. Who do you think makes our meals? Who do you used to ask, like, what do you want for dinner? How many times did you ask Ross that? What do you want for dinner? Did Ross ask you, you know, because he cooked, right?
Yeah, he asked me all the time.
Right. there's no one to do that. Like, you wake up, you get the kids ready, you make the meals. My buddy's telling me the other day, he's like, yeah, I'm going out of town with my girlfriend. We got four girls that we got to deal with. It's going to be so hard for me to deal with four girls. And I'm like, I have three freaking kids. Like, don't mm-hmm. even try to tell me what your life is like mm-hmm. when you have someone else that you're going with, four children that there's two adults to take care of. Like, I just don't even.
I do also want to say, like, even though I'm like growing and healing, that I do still, I don't want to be alone forever. Like, I will admit, like, that is not something I want. And so, but whatever happens, happens. Like, that's where I need to accept it. Mm-hmm. It's like, I can be okay alone. Like, it's hard. It's lonely. And I will continue to tell you that on the podcast because I'm not going to sugarcoat anything. But I'm okay. And I can survive this life like that. But it's not something I want. There's a difference. Like, I can do it, but it's not necessarily something that I want or I want for anyone else.
Take a drink of your Coors for me.
Oh, gosh.
I want to get you on video.
Do it.
Drinking a beer. Allie's not a beer girl at all.
Do it for Jeff.
Do it for Jeff.
Oh, for Jeff. Okay, this is for Jeff.
Okay.
Aw.
And she looks so cute doing it. The baby drink.
I'm not a big drink.
Okay, Loisy, give me a big girl drink here. Oh, Loisy. Super cool. Allie, I'm loving this path for you. This is great. Yeah. This feels good to me. I want to support you in this. How can I do that? As your bestie, what can I do? What can Loisy do?
I think for anyone, it's just listen and be there, you know, and not try to give advice on like what you would do.
Got it.
Like, what does that person need?
I think that in the right moment, you're going to be open to mm-hmm. whatever happens. And I think the universe puts people in your place at the right time. I think looking for something feels forced, but it sounds like you are becoming open to whatever life brings your way. Mm-hmm. And that's when it's going to happen. And that's when it's going to be right. Mm-hmm. And I don't think that God or the universe is going to shit on you again.
Oh, I hope not.
Yeah, I think.
Lizzie, you beautiful human.
Thank you.
No, I think we've been through enough.
Yeah.
Can we talk about God or the universe, whoever you want to call that energy? Can we talk about like how much more aware you are of why people are put in front of you after this life-changing event?
I see people differently and I don't tolerate what I used to because there's not time for it. And I embrace the good that people bring and I cherish it so much more than I ever would have before.
Tell us about one person that has come into your life since Jeff has passed that has made an impact on you over the last year. Somebody new.
Somebody new.
I mean, don't inflate our egos.
Shoot. I've kept my bubble really small.
Okay. That's beautiful too.
Yeah.
Yeah. I can tell you about somebody that was put in my life by Jeff that has become a bigger part.
Okay.
And has helped me stay connected to Jeff.
Perfect. Yep. Who is that?
We moved from Colorado back to Nebraska and we bought a little acreage in Walton. And we found this cute little bar in Eagle, Nebraska. Aww. If you've never been there, I want to take you girls. But Jeff really enjoyed that bar. I couldn't go as often because I was home with the baby. And he made friends with the bartender. Her name is Jen. I hope she's okay with me talking about this. I think she will be. And he just immediately, he was like, oh my God, Loisa, you're going to love her. You have to meet her. So accidentally, one time I went to the bar with my girlfriends, didn't know Jeff was going to be there. And me and my girlfriends are sitting around ordering our drinks. Out of the corner of my eye, I see this guy. I'm going into way too much detail.
No,
I'm
you're
like,
not.
Ooh, he's cute. And then talking to my girlfriends, this guy comes over and like pats me on the butt. And I turn around and it's Jeff. And he had just happened to go there on his way home from work. And he was talking to bartender Jen is what I call her. And so he introduced me and immediately we fell in friend love. She's married. I exchanged numbers with her. Mm-hmm. We kind of texted for a while trying to get the four of us together. And it didn't happen. But the night of Jeff's funeral, I took a group of people. We went back to our Jeff's shop in Walton and had drinks there, toasted him. I made everybody go to this bar in Eagle to have a shot. And I texted Jen on the way there. And I was like, I told her what happened. She had no idea. She wasn't working. She just had surgery. Mm-hmm. So we all went, had too much fun, went home. The next week, she started texting me. And long story short, she's like, hey, I've seen dead people since I was three. Mm-hmm. And I want to let you know that Jeff came to me. I wasn't ready to reach out to you because you're going through so much, but he's very persistent. And, you know, he gave me these signs. She's like, I don't know what they mean. And immediately I knew what they meant. And she's like, he came to me and wanted me to tell you that he's made it to the other side. And I think he was with my mom and my dad, who have also passed.
Okay.
So anyway, she's, you know, through her, I've stayed connected to Jeff like once in a while.
Cool.
He'll come to her and I don't know.
I love that.
That is somebody that Jeff put in my life for a reason. And she's still in my life. And
God, the universe,
she brings me peace.
Orchestrated that. Like it was leading up to all of the things.
I think so.
I'm seeing a medium for the first time, I think next week.
I'm so excited for you.
Okay, well, here's what I'm worried about. So I fully believe, and I think I'll always believe this, and I don't know that anyone can change my mind. I believe that Eric lives inside of me. I feel him. I love him. Like my love for him has never changed. And like, I just feel like he's there. And Eric was always very supportive of me. So Eric never cared what I did. Like, Eric was always Team Crystal. Like, whatever I did, he was my biggest cheerleader. He never had an opinion of it, and he was always just there for me. And so he just, I feel so energized all the time. So I truly believe this motherfucker lives inside of me. What I'm worried about is I go to this medium and she's like, I don't see anything.
Oh, God.
And I would be like, bitch, crotch punch. Like, he's here. Like,
yeah.
He might, maybe he went to check out the Red Sox spring game. I have no idea. But he's here living in me all the time.
I hope she makes up something more than that. Oh, my gosh. That would be like, he's not here.
I don't think I would care because I'm so crazy.
You just know.
Yeah, I just know.
Yeah. I feel like you know. You.
Yeah, I feel you. I know too. Yeah.
Right. Like, I know.
Nobody can tell me he's not here.
I know. And that's kind of where I'm at. And
like,
so
like we believe it so much. Yeah. There's no way.
Right. I like, even when I do think, even when I like, you know, I've gone on dates or whatever, and like, I still believe that Eric's with me no matter what. Like, he never leaves my side.
He's probably like, Crystal, no, man, not that one.
No, he's so, like, if you know Eric, he's like, God, you're so, he'd be like, you're so hot. Like, you're way out of his league, or like, you know, you're dumb, but like, I got you, girl. Like, if you like him, I got you.
He's going to pick the right one.
He will. Like, when it's time, he'll pick the right one. He knows, but not that's not a big part of my life by any means. I'm just saying, like, to put into perspective.
He's in you. The medium is going to confirm it. My gut tells me.
Me too. I can't imagine them not.
If I'm wrong, I'll buy you a drink.
Okay.
Oh, I'll buy you shoes.
Okay. Will you? Okay. Okay. I'm taking you up on shoes. And then will you drive me to Eagle?
Oh,
yes.
Yeah.
So that I could meet bartender Jen.
Yes. 100%. Let's road trip.
Okay. There is nothing I love more than small town bars. I'm a small town girl.
The best.
So when you're talking about Jeff and you're like, Jeff shop, I'm like, oh, be still my heart, be still my heart. Like, Eric was a worker man. Like, there is nothing I love more or that I feel more connected to than a man who grew up like using his hands, being a worker man, like fixing things, building things, and just being proud of that. That is so cool. So like, take me to Eagle.
I think they would have gotten along.
Oh, yeah. Eric got along with like Eric's, like, he just knew good people and he loved good people. He loved everyone. I think we should like hear Loisy's story.
Yeah.
Okay. Can I start like at the beginning and walk through the story of us?
Yeah, please. Mm-hmm. How did you guys meet?
We met through Jeff's sister. I dated somebody for a little bit and his best friend's wife was Jeff's sister. So I got to know her, me and that man didn't work out, but I stayed friends with her and she's
his
like,
loss.
Yeah, totally. But I gained out of
you
it.
You did.
So I stayed friends with her. I met her out for a happy hour on her birthday 1 year and we're sitting there. I'm with her and her mom. And she's like, oh my God, you should date my brother. But he's got a girlfriend. I'm like, I want no part of that. But she showed me a picture of him. I was like, oh, he is hot. And so another year goes by and I go to a concert with her. And
what concert?
Jake Owen.
I don't know him.
Country?
I do like Tennessee blues. I like country a lot. Speaking of Omaha, Charlie Crockett's coming to town. I'm in love with that guy. So show up. I bought us tickets already. BT Dubs. August 4th.
I love that. You're like, hey, you've got plans now.
August is always the month you book literally everything in.
I shouldn't. I got a trip to Colorado to go see Tyler Childers.
Can I go?
You can. I have. Yes, absolutely you can.
Okay.
I will take you. You are my date.
Yes.
Perfect.
I don't want to kick anybody else out of the spot, but
you're not. I bought 6 tickets. My best widow friend from Colorado lives there and he's going to go.
Yeah.
And then his buddies are going to go. So it'll be a big party. Tons of fun. You're totally in.
I'm in. I invite myself places. That's what I do.
You're cool. Okay. I'm going to stop interrupting.
No, you're good. So we're at this concert and she's like, oh, my brother's here. And so I meet him just briefly, like, hey, he was there with his girlfriend and we part ways. And then Jenny gets a text from him And he's like, hey, you've always wanted nieces and nephews. Ask your friend if she'll have my babies.
What? Baby.
And I was like, sure, tell him. Yeah.
Let's get it on.
And then we end up hanging out with them for a little bit that night, but like nothing, right? It's all like totally appropriate. I get a message from him the next day. He's like, hey, I felt a connection. I'm like, no, buddy, you got to take care of
I'm like, he's got a girlfriend.
Stuff. Yeah. Weeks later, we go on our first date because he figured life out. And after that, we were just kind of together. And a couple weeks in, I was like, hey, I should probably tell you, I'm moving to Colorado in the fall. And he's like, well, then what are we doing? I said, I don't know. If things are going good, just move with me and we'll see how it goes. So we started dating like end of May, and we both sold our houses and moved to Colorado in September of that same year.
Be still my heart.
Rented a house for like a year, year and a half. Then bought a house in Colorado Springs, Black Forest area.
My sister lives there.
Oh, that's awesome. Mm-hmm. We just wanted adventures. We wanted to do adventures together. And our hearts were literally like calling us to the mountains. So we never got married, right? That was one of the things I shared with you. Mm-hmm. I was like, I don't know if you want me on this podcast because I don't know if I'm not technically a widow. But
of course we want you on here.
I knew you would answer that way. That's what I said.
So yeah, like in the eyes of Colorado, we were married. We filed taxes together. We had a baby together. We bought a house together. We, you know, his family are my in-laws, but like we never got married. So I don't know if I can call myself a widow.
Absolutely. It doesn't matter.
Yeah. It doesn't matter in my eyes.
Mine either.
Mm-mm. Thank you. Cause I never use that term.
You don't?
I don't.
What do you call yourself?
I don't know.
You just lost your partner?
Jeff died.
Jeff died.
My Jeff.
You know? Yeah, that's fine. That's cool. You don't have to use that term.
Do you want to know the truth? I hate the word widow. Like, I don't identify as a freaking widow. So I'm called one, but I don't like that word. It's just a word, you know?
Yeah.
It's what we had. And that's why you're here.
Yeah.
You're not here to be because a widow.
He was my person. You know, we talked about getting married. It could have been in our future, but I think we were probably happier and more solid than a lot of married couples.
And that's all that matters.
Yeah.
Love, right?
Love, commitment, respect.
Yes. Support. Mutual agreement.
Yeah.
We're in this relationship together.
It's a partnership.
Absolutely.
Too.
Yeah.
You don't feel any different about losing Jeff than I feel about losing Eric.
Yeah.
There's your answer. Hot Widow Shannon, call in because she'll tell you all about that.
I actually feel like we should do a shout out to Shannon. So poor Shannon. She's having a really hard time. So if you guys want to say some prayers or send her some good vibes, she just lost her dad. So she lost her boyfriend or whatever, you know, her partner a year ago or a year and a half ago. And then she just lost. Yeah, I think it was a year. Mm. And then she just lost her dad, who was like very close to her. So she's really struggling. And it's like one of those of like, why me? Like all these bad things. And so I want to give you a hug, Shannon. So
shout out to Shannon. She's going to make it.
She is.
She's going to make it. We all do.
I'm digging your energy, Loisy.
Well, we have no choice.
Right.
Right. And what I've learned during this time is like, I'm a firm believer. None of this happened to me. I'm just a bystander that's like getting riddled with the shrapnel. Right.
Yes.
Like,
we're a byproduct of the event.
Yes. Like we are extremely affected, but you know, it's not like I'm not deserving of all of this. Like none of this happened to me. It happened and I feel it and forward.
Yeah. It happened to Eric and it happened to Jeff and it happened to Ross. Like,
yes,
the big thing happened to them. I'm a byproduct. My kids are a byproduct of what happened to him. I have to handle what happened to him. But for me, it's just like, ooh.
And I think we're stronger for it. It sucks. But I think that we have strength that maybe others will never know of themselves.
Absolutely.
Oh, yeah. I think people are intimidated by the strength that we have. I don't think they know how to handle it. I think that's why we lose friends in this, because they don't know how to handle the strength that we have to show mm-hmm. along the way and the way we have to persevere. And they're probably not wearing underwear.
I am too.
Are they clean? I don't
50-50.
Know. 50-50. A good shot. I'm actually constantly doing laundry. Like, that's my thing at the house. Like, how do you keep busy? Laundry. I have three kids. That's a lot to keep.
I only have one kid and I can't keep up.
I'm such a busybody. Like, I have to stay busy 24/7.
There's not enough time in the day.
You know what would happen if I didn't stay busy? Allie, you know. What would I do?
Eat Funyuns? I don't know.
No, I wouldn't eat Funyuns. I would shop.
Oh, you do that anyways.
Okay, speaking of shopping.
What the heck? You do that in between your business.
Super into the barrel trend jeans. Digging these. So if y'all aren't wearing them, let's get started on that.
I think online shopping was a bad thing for you.
I don't give
like
a
when
fuck.
They invented Ooh. Online shopping, that like really hit you.
I'm
huh?
so good at it.
It makes it so easy to return stuff.
Oh, I know.
Like Amazon.
Well, just like you could literally be anywhere. Oh, I need, I don't know, laundry detergent. You can just buy it or anything.
I love it.
You know?
I have like my closet. Like, remember I was like, I'm not going to shop at all. Oh my gosh. I have the cutest new clothes in, the cutest new tank tops. Guys, summer's going to be.
Where are you getting them from?
Oh, all over the place. So I'm super, super into Free People right now.
Okay.
So a lot of Free People. I mean, any Instagram marketer can get a hold of me. It's real easy. Mm-hmm. I should start putting the outfit of the day on our Insta stories.
All of our fans love your videos, right, fans? So message True. In. See?
You like my videos? All right. Well, we'll see.
Yeah.
If I can start putting the outfit of the day on. Okay. Lacey.
Sorry. We're like way off track here.
That's all right. I'm very squirrel, so you might have to keep me on track.
Let's roll, baby.
Okay. So moved out to Colorado Springs. I think we spent like 2 years in that house. But while we were out there, my mom got sick. Mm. And diagnosed with brain cancer, going through treatments. So I traveled back here a lot to be with her. And Jeff really loved his vacations and his trips to like go snowmobiling or hunting, very much an outdoors man. And at those times, or he couldn't take off work and I was always having to if Asa was sick. So I got to this point where I was like, I need help. I need support. We need to move home. And that might be one of my biggest regrets, but can't change it. So we moved back home the fall of 2022. He agreed to do it as long as he could still go on his vacations whenever he wanted to. So I'm like, yep, you're going to go on them anyways, right? So we're fine. He had his last snowmobile trip of the season planned for Rabbit Ears Pass in Colorado. And he left 1 year ago today to go with a couple of his guy friends snowmobiling up in Colorado. And they were going to do things different this time. His friend had a trailer that they hauled the sleds out in. Normally they stay in like a hotel or something. But this year, he was just a man's man, right? He wanted to tough it out. They installed a heater in the trailer and they left. St. Patty's Day was a Friday last year and they left and drove out there. I talked to him a few times. And what I know is they got out there Friday night. So they stopped at this bar for dinner and then they made it up to the mountain to like the trailhead, the parking lot where all the trailers park. And they pulled the sled outs and they set up their cots and started their heater. And then I didn't hear from him at all Saturday, but I thought that like they had really bad service. Mm-hmm, you know, I texted him a few times. I like to give him his space when he's gone. Texted him a few times, you know, hope you're having fun. Didn't hear from him. That Saturday, I was really sick. So his parents took our daughter. And so I just was kind of recovering all day, went to bed kind of early Saturday night. Sunday morning at like 5:13 a.m., my phone rings And which is weird because I usually have my phone like on silent at night, but it rang. It woke me up. I wasn't going to answer it, but it said Kremlin, Colorado with a number. So I was like, well, it's got to be Jeff. Like maybe something happened and something happened to his phone. So I'm going to answer it. And I answer it and it's this female's voice. And she said, hi, this is Randy, the Grand County coroner. Oh, I have God. Jeff's body with me.
Holy shit. I just got goosebumps.
And I couldn't comprehend what she meant. And so it took her a few times. And she said, you know, that she had Jeff's body. And so I thought maybe he got in a snowmobile accident because that would be the way Jeff would go, just like driving off a mountain, right? Or a car accident on the way up or something. I had no idea. And she said, no, it seems like it was carbon monoxide in the trailer that they were staying
in. So all of them?
No. The other two survived.
What?
Yes.
God, babe.
It was just Jeff. The other two had, they were very sick from the carbon monoxide, but they've made a full recovery and they never needed to go to the hospital. When the paramedics finally made it out there that night. So he died sometime Saturday. We don't know when. The boys that he was with, they were sleeping most of the day Saturday. You know, they'd get up. I think that they'd stumble to the door of the trailer to go to the bathroom and stumble back in. They couldn't walk, right? They were very confused. They were not like cognitively all there because of the carbon monoxide. They do not ever remember interacting with Jeff after they all went to sleep. So at some point Saturday, I think it was early, Jeff just passed in his sleep.
Oh my gosh.
And the heater, come to learn, I think it was installed incorrectly. It was installed high in the trailer when it should have been installed low. And so the sensor, by the time the heater kicked off because there wasn't enough oxygen in the trailer, that's what one of the boys woke up to. I don't know if it alarmed or if it was just really cold. And I might have some of these details incorrect because like whirlwind, right? Hearing secondhand, they don't really know what happened, but they tried to wake Jeff up and they couldn't. And they tried CPR, but it was very apparent that he had already passed hours before.
Oh my gosh.
So they called 911 when they finally got cell service in their truck.
And this was like Saturday night?
After midnight, okay. Sunday morning. Yeah. So cops came out, paramedics came out, declared him deceased. The cops told the two guys that they weren't allowed to call anybody and tell us.
I was wondering why they didn't call you.
Yeah, why?
They were told not to. They were told that a local sheriff was going to come to my house in person and tell me. And I mean, thank God they didn't, because I think I would have been really freaked out, like some strange person showing up at my door, kind of in the middle of nowhere, right? But yeah, I got the call from the coroner, and then I had to make the hardest phone call ever to Jeff's mom.
Oh gosh, Loisy.
Oh my gosh.
Again, it's not what you expect. So she...
And she had your daughter?
She had my daughter. So having to convince her that, yes, I think that this is real. I don't think the boys are playing a trick on us like this. So she called the coroner back and then called me back and was like, yes, this is real. I called one of my best friends who lives in Bennington. It was going to take her an hour to come get me, but I didn't think I should drive. Luckily, she happened to be staying just 15 minutes away. She went to a friend's house. They were having a get together. They all drank. She stayed there. So she came to get me and took me and our dog to Jeff's parents' house where his family had already gathered. I mean, I'm very close with Jeff's family. Like I won the lottery with in-laws, you know, and I do call them my in-laws and they
are, girl.
They are. Yeah. you know, then the process of like, what do we do? Figuring out how to get his body back. That was more difficult than you would think. But we had an angel in Colorado that helped us get him back to Nebraska without any delays or hiccups.
What's the last text you got from him? Do you feel comfortable sharing?
Yeah, it's kind of crazy though. Before he left, he was big into buying lottery tickets. We had a special number, like our lucky number together was 17. But
damn,
he
I thought it was 69.
Would be nice. Oh, that's why we're friends.
That's right.
So he told me in our kitchen the morning he left, he said, I'm going to stop and buy lottery tickets with our numbers on the way out so that when I die this weekend, you will be a millionaire.
Fucking nuts.
And I said, just hide it in your pocket so the other boys don't take it. Like, I'm joking, right?
Right.
But he, I don't know if he had an intuition, but he made a joke that he was going to die that weekend. And I'm like, don't talk like that, but you know, whatever. Ha ha, you're funny. And he's like, well, no, I know I'm not going to live to be old. I know I'm not going to live forever. And, you know, I probably just said, well, make sure you make it home because we need you. Mm-hmm. You know, like I want you to come home. Anyways, he sent me a Snapchat of the lottery ticket and quick pick or the power, whatever the number is at the end was 17.
Wow.
And he circled it and was like, millionaires. I found that ticket. I checked it. We were not millionaires.
Motherfucker.
Yeah.
You had one job.
Right? Right? But that was the last text or Snapchat that I got from him. What's crazy is he sent out a Snapchat that night of the setup in their trailer with the two guys and their cots and all of, you know, their gear and the heater. And he sent it out to like everybody. But they didn't have cell service up where they were. So
it came later?
Yes. When the boys finally started traveling back, and we were also worried for them to travel back because A, what they had just been through, mm-hmm. you know, how traumatic was that? I was really worried about the effects of the carbon monoxide on them still. I did not want them driving that day, but they drove back and they drove back with Jeff's stuff, including his phone. And so I think like noon that day when they're like halfway down the mountain, that Snapchat sent out to everybody.
Oh, and so my gosh.
I'm with Jeff's family gathered around the table and our phones all go off at the same time with a Snapchat from Jeff.
Oh my gosh.
And somebody showed me how to save it. So I saved it. I have it.
You downloaded it?
Yep.
Nice. Gosh, yeah. How trippy.
Mm-hmm.
Wow.
What a cool, like that's totally trippy, but what a, like a feeling.
I feel him so often. Okay. So I have to tell a little bit about Jeff. To me, he was not a perfect man, but to me, he was the perfect man.
Mm-hmm.
For me, I think we just worked. I don't know how we worked so well. He was hard to love. He was very rough around the edges. You know, think of truck driver, construction, like,
oh yeah,
those were his jobs.
So. I know what you're talking about.
Had a very short temper. If people couldn't do things right or his way, you know, he'd erupt. He was just hard to love. But had a heart of gold, would do anything for anybody. And so the turnout to his send-off, right? His visitation, his funeral, the turnout was unreal. And I think that, I don't know, I just hope that he could see that because he probably thought that nobody would be there.
He saw it.
For him.
He saw it.
And I...
He's living in you and your daughter. He saw it.
Oh, man. He's living with us.
Yeah.
She sees him, talks to him on the daily.
Mm-hmm.
The second hardest thing I've had to do besides calling his mom mm-hmm. and telling her, besides telling my daughter, that was hard. My mom, that Monday after I made my brothers go with me and I told her. And she had brain cancer. She was not doing well cognitively. She was not understanding everything, mm-hmm. you know. She died like 6 days after Jeff's funeral.
Oh my gosh.
And so, yeah.
How long ago did your dad pass?
His funeral was March 17th of 2020.
Oh my gosh.
Oh my gosh. So March is a bad month.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah.
And he died from Alzheimer's dementia. He had a stroke.
Oh, that's, oh gosh.
Oh my goodness. Yeah. What a story. Holy cow. You're a beautiful woman for persevering through it.
Thank you.
I think that there's always people in our lives that like they come into our lives for a reason. Jeff came into your life for a reason.
You know, before him, I hadn't had much luck with, not much luck. I had bad luck with men, right? And so I prayed for God to send somebody my way that would love me, respect me, not cheat on me, and never leave me. And that is exactly who he sent me.
Oh my gosh.
And Jeff.
Absolutely.
And then I have always wanted a family. I've always wanted children. Jeff did not want kids. And after we'd been together a while, you mm-hmm. know, I was like, listen, can we do this? Are we going to mm-hmm. do this? Or should I just accept that we're going to be this like couple without kids that just goes on adventures all the time? And, you know, he agreed. He's like, let's try. So we had Asa, and she was the biggest blessing to both of us. I don't think he knew that he was meant to be a dad. And once he was a dad, his heart settled, his soul settled, he settled so much. He was just a different person. And that was really cool to see. Wow, he gave me the best gift ever.
Yes, mm-hmm. he did.
Absolutely.
And I think that is why we're able to keep going, mm-hmm. you know?
That is so.
Because I have him.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, you have the best piece of him. That's what I say about Eric. I have the best piece of him. He left me with like, he didn't choose to leave me, right? He would never want to have left me. Eric would have stayed with me for the rest of his life, no matter what I did, how I acted, how I behaved. But he left me with the absolute best piece of him. He's literally waving at me from heaven and saying, girl, I left you with this cool shit. Run with it. Do something cool with these three beautiful humans that I gave you. And I think that probably is like when I say like he lives inside of me, that's what I feel like. Crystal, do with them what you do.
Yeah.
Make them into something cool.
Yeah. Make them amazing little, mm-hmm. their own people, but like specks of him.
Yeah.
Right?
I have chills.
Feel that. Yeah. I feel that so much.
Yeah. That is so cool. Like the first couple months, I'm sure like any widow is just a blur. Probably don't remember March through July.
Not really. I felt like I was playing a part in a movie. I don't think that I felt much internally because I felt mm-hmm. like I was just acting.
Yes.
I was playing the part of a widow. I was going through the motions. Mm-hmm. Then the fog got heavier and I could only do what was right in front of me. I couldn't handle complex things like we weren't married. So that made it more challenging with his estate. And the guy was a hoarder of all things men. His shop was filled to the brim with tools, toys, engines, hunting stuff. And we had a massive estate sale that his parents put on. I helped a little bit, but my brain couldn't function and I just didn't want to do it, to be mm-hmm. honest. So thank God for his parents being able to do it during their time of grief. I don't know how they did it. They have a large family. They all came together. They all came out and helped. It was a beautiful thing. And we felt Jeff there. But the first year, very much a fog, a blur, a whirlwind. My emotions were one day like, we've got this, you know, we can do this. And then the next day, like, how in the hell are we going to do this? I don't want to do this. I have to do this. But I think that all happened internally, like mm-hmm. nobody saw it on the outside. I think we go through a lot that nobody sees.
Yes.
Oh my gosh.
So much.
We go through so much that nobody sees.
Yeah. And you just get a piece of it even on this podcast. It's like,
oh yeah.
Living on the dailies.
And I don't want anybody to see it. Yeah. To be honest, I don't want you to see it. You don't need to see it. It's not that you don't deserve it. It's just not yours to see.
Feels very intimate.
And it's ugly and it's beautiful and it's painful and it's mine.
I've found a lot of beauty and joy in our grief.
Yes. Yes.
That's why, like, this process, I've learned you can be two things at once.
Yes. Mm-hmm. Amen.
And my daughter, she's 3.5, you know, and we talk a lot about daddy, and she sees him and she'll talk to him and she'll ask him to give me a hug. Aww. Because mommy's really sad. She misses you, daddy. Can you please give her a hug?
I see so much beauty in it because I see beauty in pain. And I've talked about that a million times on here, but it really is a beautiful thing. I look at life as beauty. Like I can look at a building and I see beauty. I look at a human being and I see beauty. I feel like I can read that energy. And that's why, like, I always talk about Allie being so beautiful, because I can read her energy. I can read her pain. I can read her happiness. I can read all of that. And it's like all the widows that I meet, when I see them, it's just like you can feel that they know what you know. Like, they've experienced the ugliness that you've experienced, no matter what their experience is. And so it's a beautiful thing. And that's why I have so many widow friends.
We're complex.
We are complex. And I like complex
things.
There's
many layers.
I like people who've been through pain. Like, people who've been through something, they're the coolest people. Like, if you haven't been through something, you're really boring to me. And I'm going to normalize this. I was telling my buddy Alex the other day, I'm going to start normalizing this, okay? You guys ready for this?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. I told him that I am going to start saying, I wish that it was socially acceptable to be like, be in a conversation and just be like, this doesn't interest me and I really don't care that much, and just walk away.
Ooh, I would love to do that.
Me too. I'm just not interested. So I'm going to step back.
I just get quiet. That's my way.
You do.
I'm too nice. I can't, like, I don't know, but I just get quiet.
So my buddy Alex is the biggest supporter of me. And we were at an event one night and some woman was talking about how her kids are just like, she's like, my kids are like assholes, or like really just laying into her kids. And I looked at her and I just, like, very boldly stated, you know, I don't have that problem. My kids are pretty cool. And they walked away, and Alex happened to witness that. And he's like, that was the bravest thing I've ever seen anyone do. And I just embraced that. I'm like, okay, I'm going to keep being brave then. Mm-hmm.
Let's not have conversations that don't serve us.
Yes.
Yes, Lacey, absolutely.
Yeah.
Just let's do that.
Walk away.
I'm done with negative. I'm done with negative talk about other people.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Situations.
Yes.
Let's not air our grievances. Mm-hmm. Let's just move on.
What do you got for the audience? Like, give us, like, something about your journey. Like, what do you want them to know?
Yeah. Is there any advice you would give?
Besides, I seriously do want to tell people that they make portable carbon monoxide alarms. And that's, like, going to be my gift to people. You bought a new home. Here's a portable carbon monoxide alarm. You're going on vacation. Here you go. Pack it.
Okay.
You know,
it is so crazy that mm-hmm. you say that. I don't even know your story. Okay. Mm-hmm. I had no idea coming in here. And yesterday I was like, I'm really worried about the carbon monoxide in my house.
You don't have a detector?
I do, but I still think about it. Mm.
I think about it all the time.
You know what's dumb is, you know, they put them with smoke detectors up on the ceiling. Mm-hmm. They're not supposed to be there because it's a heavy gas. Mm-hmm. So they're supposed to be down low. So okay. Like the ones that plug into the outlet.
That's the ones
better.
I have.
Good.
I have. Do you just put them all over your house?
I put it in the basement because it's low.
Yeah.
But like on the main floor, like, I don't know. Okay.
I would have one on each floor. Okay. I'm not an expert. I would love to get into a position to be like a carbon monoxide expert, right?
I love it. Yes.
I'm a nurse. I want to take that journey and see what I can do with that.
I like that.
Be on like a board, but I just feel a calling.
Follow that passion.
Yep.
100%. I wanted to wait a year and just sit in my shit. Eventually, I want to use it for good, but like in a healthy manner.
I love that.
I love it too.
Also, life is so fucking short. You don't know when it's your time. I feel like Final Destination is somewhat real because how did it take Jeff and spare the other two? Was that just his time and we didn't know it? So like, don't ever take for granted telling somebody you love them or hugging them. We never got the chance to wrap up our life together with conversations or future talk or I love you so much. Like, I just trust that he knew.
Guys like him, he knew. Yeah. He knew because, especially if you're like, he's hard to love, like all these things. And when he met you and he knew that you loved him, he might not have shown that or been great about emulating that back to you. He knew.
He knew.
And he knew that you were going to take care of his daughter. You were going to live out his legacy.
Yeah.
His heart knew it. And this universe, like the fact that the universe knew that that was just time, like there aren't accidents. The universe does this stuff. It is all for a reason and a purpose, and it's all out of our control. And when the universe did that to Jeff, it was all setting him up for telling you, I'm buying these lottery tickets. We're going to be millionaires.
I think that's a sign that I just have to keep buying them and using 17 and eventually we'll get there.
Mm-hmm. I hope you do.
I hope you do too.
And if you do, if you're ever interested to go back to that town and just sit.
I want to.
In that space and you want some cool chicks to go with you. You have Let's two right it. Here who will just sit there. Mm-hmm. I'll drink Coors Light all night. One night, my buddy Jim came to town and we just sat and drank beer all night long. So if that's what you want from me. I got you.
I want to go to that bar that he went to before he went up the mountain. I want to go to that bar and I want to have a yellow jacket and have a burger. That's the last picture I have of him.
When you're ready, girl.
Yeah, I think you do. Yeah. It.
I mean, if we're cool enough, otherwise take someone cooler, but we'll go anywhere.
I think you guys are cool enough. I think we'd have a great time.
Yeah. I would love to do that with you.
I would too.
It's a date.
Yeah, I absolutely would. You have to hold on to people who understand why you're doing that. Like my best friends, they understand why I loved Eric. They knew Eric. They loved him. And they knew like my pain. But there is no one who really knows my pain like the two of you sitting in this room right now. There is no one besides
it's so hard.
The other widows that we've met who know our pain. And so that's what makes it so much cooler.
It is so hard. And it's hard to have the kids and it's just another layer. I'm so grateful for them, as you said, but it's hard.
She is what keeps me going.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, she is what has gotten me through this in a very classy manner. I think otherwise I'd be like rocking in the corner with a dozen of these.
Yeah. I say this. I've said this all the time on the podcast. They have saved me. They continue to save me. I don't know where I would be.
They give you a purpose. They give you a reason.
But like what you said, a classy, like the correct way of like, I have to take care of myself for them.
I want her to be proud of me as much as I want Jeff to be proud of me.
Oh, I feel that to the soul. They're too young now, but I want them to look back and be like, wow, my mom
is a badass.
Is a badass.
I want to see their little faces. I want to see them when they're 22, 23 and they're graduating and they're like, man, you know, like, I can't believe my mom did this. I want them to have their own kids. I want them to be 40 and I want them to be like looking at me living my best life. I feel like I'll be living kind of a Grace and Frankie kind of life. I'm probably a little bit more on the Frankie side of things. Like, I want them to look at me and be like, my mom did this. My mom got us through all of this as a bold, independent, confident woman with class. She has style. She has grace. Rita Haywood gave good face. Name the song. Marilyn Monroe.
I'm thinking of it, but
Monroe. Joe DiMaggio.
Oh, yeah.
Yes. It's like on the tip of my
tongue. Vogue, Vogue, Vogue.
There you go.
All right, guys. Well, I think that a wrap for today.
Thank you for coming in studio.
Yeah. Thank you guys so much. Mm-hmm. I hope I told it well, but I've been really looking forward to telling Jeff's story.
Cheers to Jeff.
Cheers to Jeff.
Yeah.
Lucy, I have a question. People ask me, they're like, I want to listen to your podcast, but like, what's your favorite episode? And I'm like, I don't know. They're all my favorite. I love them all. Do you have like one that's resonated with you?
Second to last one I listened to was Tommy Eyeballed. Man, that was sad.
His story is so sad, but his strength
has to be amazing.
It is phenomenal. It is his, like the way he's processed that tragedy. I don't know him well at all. I mean, I just know him from the episode, but I've had a couple conversations with him. He just is doing the right things, it feels like.
To lose your wife and your baby and to see what he saw, I don't know if I would be as strong as he seems.
That dude's not even 30. He just turned 30. He's a rock. Go, Tommy.
Yeah, we all feel for him. We feel for everybody, but it's like he is strong and he came off super strong in the episode. But he struggles just like all of us.
And he does.
We all can wrap our prayers and our thoughts for him because that story is so heavy. I lost it when he talked about holding his baby while she took her last breath. Like
I was bawling.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Me too.
One of the beautiful things about this that I didn't realize maybe until I started listening to you guys is that there are so many young widows out there. I felt very alone because people that I knew were much older and they had these long lives with their husbands.
That's why we're doing this podcast. We're trying to bring it all together because we do feel so alone. I think I looked up the statistic once. The chances of being a widow at our age is very small. So we are a minority, let's face it. But that's why we're doing this, because I want everybody to feel that small group of people to not feel alone.
I feel less alone after listening to your guys' podcast and everything you talk about. By the way, Asa is in my bed.
Good.
Every night for a year. And I don't have any plans on kicking her out anytime soon. I should.
Hug that little girl.
Can I give an update on that? I bought Benny his own bed. He's always had his own bed. I bought him a new bed. And I thought he would sleep in it. That kid is still sleeping with me every night.
It's okay.
Embrace it. I don't know. Just like your song lyrics.
Anyways, I'm glad Asa's sleeping with you.
Yeah.
We're cuddle
buddies.
Keep
her there.
Yeah.
I want to meet her.
She has the parts of him I wish she didn't get and the parts that I'm very glad she got. But same can be said about me. Like, this girl is going to give me hell. You guys will meet her someday.
Oh, yeah. I want our kids to meet.
Light up your world.
Thank you for coming on here.
Yeah. Thank you guys so much. This was fun.
Everyone says, so for any future guests, as you're hearing Loisy today, everyone's like, I'm so nervous to come on. And I always prep with, I promise you, it's just like it sounds. It's just Allie and I talking. We have no plans.
Yeah, we just have a conversation. Yeah.
So was it that scary?
It was not. I tend to ramble, so I hope that I gave a good story.
You did.
Mm-hmm. I hope I didn't leave any parts out. I do think the beer helped. Cheers to St. Patty's Day.
Yeah.
All right, guys. Signing off from the Hot Widows Club podcast. I'm Crystal. I've got Allie and Loisy with me. Good night, guys.
Bye.
Bye.